Ready?
Roman 33, tape one.
Lights out!
It is just 30 years since the François Truffaut film Day for Night won the Oscar for Best Foreign Film. Day for Night took us along on a fictional film shoot as an average, somewhat sentimental feature was created by its cast, crew, and director, played by Truffaut himself.
Give me a 5-kilowatt on the fireplace.
Day for Night is a love letter to the filmmaking process.
Now put a screen in front of the 5-kilowatt or we won't see the fire.
And also to the family that forms around a picture and then disbands.
Family crew want you in the projection room.
Here they are. It's about time.
It adores the chemistry of actors with one another and the sorcery performed on the set and in the editing room.
Start the rain. Less rain.
There hasn't been such a positive, loving portrait of the process since, well, ever. You only have to go back a couple of decades before Truffaut and change the location to Hollywood to see the politics and pain filmmakers chose to show us in movies about their own business. In The Bad and the Beautiful, there are some early, heady days of filmmaking.
Suppose we never do show the catmen. Is that what you're thinking?
Exactly.
No catmen!
Kirk Douglas and Barry Sullivan throwing it together on a shoestring.
Now, what we put on the screen, it'll make the backs of their necks crawl.
But it doesn't take long before the producer is taking credit for the director's work.
I'd rather hurt you now than kill you off forever.
Cutting him out of the deal.
You're just not ready to direct $1 million picture.
Filmmaking becomes a more sinister process, with more at stake.
You're stealing my picture. It was my idea. I gave it to you.
In the movies about movies, it is the producers who are larger than life. Larger than movies, even.
Without me, it would have stayed an idea.
They are, after all, the ones with all the power. And power seems to be what it is all about, even more than money. And certainly more than art. And working in the movies is all about being trapped. In Clifford Odets's play and later film of the late 50s, The Big Knife, it is very much about the power struggle between a movie star.
I'll promise you anything you want if you'll just let me go.
And a tyrannical producer.
A boy like you, who are you?
Played to the hilt by Rod Steiger.
I built the studio. I, with my brain and my hand, I ripped it out of the world. And who are you? No.
In this one, process doesn't enter into it. 90% of The Big Knife takes place in one Bel Air living room, which I guess is itself part of the trap. The poor guy can't get out of that palatial room or his contract, and that's what it's about.
You there! Why are you so late?
So is Sunset Boulevard, when you think about it.
Why have you kept me waiting so long?
In that classic, everybody pays a price for the glamorous haze that is the movie world, and everybody's trapped.
We didn't need dialogue. We had faces.
Norma Desmond trapped in a big old mansion, looking at the image of herself as she once was.
I'll show them. I'll be up there again, so help me.
Eric von Stroheim as a former director, trapped as her butler.
She was the greatest of them all. You wouldn't know. You're too young.
A struggling writer, having brushed up against all this under the oddest possible circumstances.
Well, I sure turned into an interesting driveway.
Finding himself trapped.
I'll get your things together and let's get out of here.
Unable to give it up.
All my things? All my 18 suits, all my custom-made shoes, and the 6 dozen shirts, and the cufflinks, and the platinum keychains, and the cigarette cases?
Decades later, in the film Inside Daisy Clover, Daisy, Natalie Wood, pays every imaginable price.
Incredible as it may seem, I'm going to make something out of you.
Her mother is locked up in an institution to leave young Daisy free for stardom.
There's a certain mixture of orphan and clown that always packs them in.
The matinee idol she marries takes off on their wedding night, and finally her very sanity is the price she pays.
Will you give us a level, please, Daisy?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Fine.
As she plays a full-blown mad scene in the dubbing studio. The producer, of course, is unmoved.
Look here, if she's sane, cure her. If she's mad, certify her. I want her cured so I can finish my picture, or certified so I can collect insurance.
And Daisy is trapped by her own success. In State and Maine, a movie shoot takes over a small town where they are all trapped in endless pre-production.
Claire has a problem.
Wally, if I have some moment of your time, look at this. This shot, I cannot do the shot you want.
Why not?
With rewrites and tantrums and machinations.
I don't want to take my shirt off, and I can't. What are these things they're asking of me? What? I try to be good.
Long before anyone says action.
Roll camera.
Speed.
The fires of home. Scene one, take one. Marker.
in the player.
Lunching with the enemy.
They're even trapped at lunch.
Can we talk about something other than Hollywood for a change?
Yeah. Yes.
We're educated people.
Sure.
Life is in development hell.
I like Goldie.
I like Goldie.
Okay,
great.
Goldie goes to Africa.
Writers circle around the studios.
Find out from studio security how Adam Simon got on the lot. I want to know.
Adam Simon? Okay.
A murder is committed.
Keep it to yourself!
It is, after all, the only way out of the trap of being rich, successful, and in power in the Dream Factory. There's even a film called The Oscar.
Here's a fellow who needs no introduction, Frankie Thane, one of the five nominees...
which can be found in the cult films section of a certain downtown video store listed under Midnight Movies.
This is a chancy business, Frankie. You never know you're on the way out till you suddenly realize it would take a ticket to get back in.
It tells the story of a movie star who is, yes, trapped by the glamour and success he's been able to achieve as he begins a slide downward.
You've just been nominated for an Oscar.
What? I can't hear you.
I'm at the Academy, and they just released the Oscar nominations.
Only the prospect of an Academy Award gives him renewed credibility and clout, so he can once again, if you'll pardon the expression, call the shots.
Hey, Frankie, congratulations.
And what about Day for Night? What's truly amazing is that 30 years ago, the late, great François Truffaut did manage to make that entertaining, upbeat, charming film about the same dirty business that almost every other director has dumped on mercilessly before and since. Could he have made that movie now, knowing all we know now? Between the E! Channel, Project Greenlight, Peter Biskin's new book Down and Dirty Pictures, backstage documentaries and unauthorized biographies, camcorders, desktop editing, inside the actor's studio, with all that, who needs fiction? Maybe audiences know it all too well. But Truffaut knew the secret, that the beauty of it is on the set and in the cutting room, in the actual act of making the thing, in burying your head in the question of which vase will work better on which table, which angle will flatter, which cut will surprise the viewer. Whether it's great art or just ordinary entertainment, you still have to make those decisions. You still have to sweat. To him, the fun is in the sweating. For an audience, the fun is in the watching, and that includes even a good trashy movie about making movies, even if most of them are not about making movies at all.
Cut! Hold it.
For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.